This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message, and if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
Had a problem. He was the assistant priest of a church in the region of Tyrol, the Church of St. Nicholas, in the beautiful Alps in Austria. He'd only been there a couple of years, and he was very much looking forward to the celebration of the birth of Jesus with his congregation. And as legend had it, the organ in the little church was broken. And so he approached a man named Franz Gruber, who was the schoolmaster in the town and also the church organist. And you see, Moore had previously penned the words to a Christmas song, but he needed some music that could bring the song to life. And so he invited Franz Gruber, who also played guitar, to write some music. They didn't want their beloved church to miss out on this celebration of Christmas Eve. And so Gruber took the lyrics and created some beautiful music that blended perfectly with the spirit of the song that he had written. And that night they sang this new Christmas carol to the accompaniment of Gruber's guitar. And the song made a deep impact on that little congregation, as it even has on many successive generations. Today, Stille Nacht, or Silent Night, is one of the most popular Christmas carols of all time. And it's the 200th anniversary of that song tonight. While we don't know all the details surrounding the song, it seems like an appropriate metaphor for Christmas. Things don't always turn out the way that you plan them. The moment is upon you before you even realize it, and your circumstances aren't always the way you want them to be. This evening, I wanted to share with you a passage of Scripture from the Gospel of Matthew that share with us another set of circumstances that probably weren't the way that they had wanted them to be. A story of a young couple who were journeying together. I invite you, if you're able, to please stand with me for the reading of God's Word. This is the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 1, verses 18 and following. This is the Word of God. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Lord, we thank you for your word and for the privilege of knowing you, of knowing more about what you're like and more about what we're like as we explore the truths of Scripture. This is not a myth, it's not a story, it's an account of what happened in history. And so we pray as we open your word and as we reflect upon it tonight that by the power of the same Holy Spirit that brought Jesus, that spoke to Joseph and Mary, that you would also speak to us. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen. We'll talk about not drawing it up this way. Mary and Joseph certainly didn't anticipate things happening the way that they did. Mary was pregnant. Talk about an awkward conversation. Joseph, I've got to talk with you about something. By the way, I had this dream and an angel came to me. An angel? Really? Oh, an angel came to you. Okay, good. Yeah, tell me about that. But then an angel comes to Joseph too. And he realized that something significant is happening. But it just wasn't the way that they had planned. The text tells us that Joseph was a just man and he was unwilling to put her to shame. Because she was pregnant outside of their covenant relationship, even though they were already betrothed to one another, it would bring shame upon her and it would bring shame upon him. But he was willing to not put her shame, so he was going to divorce her quietly. You think about Joseph and his anticipation of this marriage. Think about the excitement that he had as he was getting ready to be married and to start a family. All the things that he had hoped for and dreamed of were crushed when he learned about these new circumstances. He must have felt betrayal. He must have felt confusion. What was it like for Mary? She lived in a small town. And if any of you are from a small town, you know that in a small town, everybody kind of knows everything. There were whispers and rumors. It certainly had to be difficult for her in this situation. What were people saying? And Mary, what was her response going to be? Oh, well, an angel appeared to me, and he told me that I'm carrying the Messiah. Well, talk about another awkward conversation. And then there's this matter of the census. They've got to travel over hill and dale to get to this place on foot or by donkey, at least 4 days to a town where they didn't really know anybody anymore because Joseph had no longer lived in that community. What would it have been like to deliver your first child in such mean a state, the hymn says? And for us, all too often, the Christmas that we hope for is not the one that we get. Whether as a child it was the gift that you didn't receive, or as an adult, it was the life that, frankly, you didn't really want. Christmas can be a time to deal with our unanticipated, often disappointing lives. I talk with people who share frustration because of the circumstances in which they find themselves. Things are difficult. Sometimes it's because they've made bad choices along the way, and they're willing to admit that. But honestly, sometimes it's because life comes at us pretty hard, and things that we can't control affect our lives and the situations that we're in. And usually it's a combination of both of those realities. Things that we've done and things that have been done to us, and we find ourselves in a situation we're not always pleased with that situation. All of us have to work through the struggle of life. And for many people, too many people, Christmas is a time when that disappointment comes clearly into view. There's family tension, marital stress, financial burdens. The burden really comes in January when the credit card statement finally arrives. We also grieve and mourn because there are people that we used to celebrate Christmas with that are no longer with us for whatever reason. We have fights with our parents or our children or our siblings. We struggle with the state of the world and the sorrow of others, the injustice that occurs. The list of painful things is longer than our Christmas list, which are really pretty long. But I think that our disappointment sometimes stems from a sincere but misguided celebration. Instead of looking to Christmas for peace and hope and joy, we should instead be looking to the incarnation. Now, I understand that those two things go together, but for the purposes of this time, as we reflect upon this story, Christmas has become this thing that has been created and built up around the singular event in time and space called the incarnation. The incarnation is a moment when Jesus Christ came into the world. He was Lord at his birth. He is the one who is with us in the midst of our disappointment and our suffering. Christmas can sometimes be a barrage of gift giving and concern about the list and did we get it done and the stores are packed. Did anybody go to Kroger today? Did you find a parking spot? The incarnation is the gift of the Christ child. Christmas can make us long for more. The incarnation makes us satisfied with less. Christmas often lets us down. The incarnation lifts us up. Christmas stresses us out, but the incarnation gives us rest. Christmas calls us to hustle and bustle. The incarnation invites us to contemplation. Now, I love the hustle and bustle, and I love the gathered times and the lifts and the things and all that goes along with Christmas. They're wonderful things that we can celebrate, but let's not let our celebration of Christmas get in the way of our rejoicing in, meditating upon, and contemplating the incarnation. See, when we have an idyllic picture of what Christmas is supposed to be, we can often be disappointed when it doesn't turn out the way that we want it to. But when we stand in awe of God and of what He's done in the sending of His one and only Son, we're amazed every single time. It never, ever disappoints. Only when we totally look at the Christ child will we cease being disappointed. And then can we truly celebrate Christmas for what it is? You know, proof that God often works in the most difficult of circumstances happened on another anniversary. More than 100 years ago on the battlefield of Flanders in Belgium during World War I. The English and French were in a fierce fight with the Germans, and both sides had dug in. These big, long trenches, trench warfare, where they were safe in these man-made trenches, but they were at great peril because of the war that was happening just on the surface of the earth. Late in the winter of 1914, as it was approaching Christmas, the Germans began by putting out tiny Christmas trees and singing songs. Across this no man's land, in between the lines of trenches, songs began to come from the English and the French. And then a spontaneous truce resulted, and actually men walked out of those trenches, out onto the field, exchanging handshakes and gifts. There was even a football match that broke out on the pitch. Men who were at war, sharing the bond of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, this truce would end before the new year because commanders threatened to court-martial them. And the war lasted for 4 more years. But a peace had been established because of the connection that these two warring groups of people had through the person of Jesus Christ. In what was most likely the worst Christmas that those men had ever had in their entire lives, still revealed the incarnation. That the presence of Jesus Christ can bring peace no matter what the circumstances are. 1800 years earlier, Mary and Joseph could see the hand of God working through their difficulty. Now, their adversity wasn't a punishment, but rather a blessing from God. For through their challenge came a closeness to the one who came to save them. And so it is with us. Jesus enters into our lives when we need Him the most. And so what is the circumstance that you brought into the room with you? What is the struggle? What is the difficulty? What is the uncertainty or the anxiety or the fear or the thing that makes you so frustrated or angry? And Jesus wants to meet you. He's come into that kind of world. He's come into that kind of life to show you His goodness and to set you free and to give you peace in the midst of the difficult circumstances. I mean, isn't that the story of the carol, the story of Silent Night, when everything seems to have been blown, the organ is broken, we won't be able to have a Christmas Eve. Jesus enters in. God demonstrates His power. I mean, think about the song's name, Silent Night. What was silent about the night? Now, there are moments of quiet, I'm sure, but there was a mother giving birth, not a quiet thing. There's a father rejoicing over his newborn son. Not a quiet thing. Shepherds praising, angels proclaiming, cattle lowing, a baby crying. Not a silent night. What makes it silent is not necessarily the lack of sound. What makes it silent is what makes it holy, is the presence of Almighty God in the person of Jesus Christ. The one who has created the world has come into the chaos. The one who created you has come into your life, into your disappointment, into your struggle, to give you hope, to give you joy, to give you peace in Him that only He can bring. This night is an opportunity to remember what Christmas is all about. That a tiny baby came in the form, that God came in the form of a baby. This God who is in control when things like seem that they're out of control. The God who brings peace when there seems to be no peace. The God who is working in our lives in ways that we cannot see or anticipate. The God who makes beautiful music out of the brokenness of our lives. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your love for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you've given us life and you've given us hope and joy. You've given us peace that only comes in you. We pray that you would remind us of your grace and of your mercy in such a way that we would receive you, that we would rejoice in you, that we would trust you, and that we would follow you in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. Again, if you'd like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. Thank you very much, and God bless you today.